Welcome on in to the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. The Jazz have fought their way back to 500 after a win last night against the Clippers. The rookies are really showing out, seeing great things from Walker Kessler and Osai Agbaji. And the trade deadline is within the next month. We're going to talk about a lot of rumors that are surrounding the Jazz. The Jazz have been probably the main team involved in all the rumors involving trades. So, first off, again, the Jazz moved their way back to 500 last night. They started off the season, I think it was 10 and 3. They were the number one seed for a short little time. And then teams really started paying attention to them. They really started scouting them, figuring out exactly how to play against them. And even though the Jazz do have a lot of talent on this team, they don't have those top-level superstars where even though the team knows what you're doing, they could still beat you. So Jazz went on a bit of a skid. I think before this last little stretch here, they were 20 and 23, I believe. So they've won four and lost one, I think, in their last five. And a couple of those games were without Larry Markkanen. He hurt his hip. He got a hip contusion, and the rookies took over in that game. That was against the Timberwolves. Now Rudy Gobert went out like 3 minutes into the game. He had an injury, so they were playing against, and Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't playing either. So they're playing against D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, and the rest of the Timberwolves. But Walker Kessler came out huge. Had a 20-20 game, 20 points, 21 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 blocks, shot over 65% from the field. And I saw on ESPN they were saying that Walker Kessler had the first 20-20 game while shooting over 65% from the field goal from the field by a rookie since Alonzo Mourning. Back in, I think it was like 1994, 95, somewhere around there. So just an incredible game from the young rookie. With Kelly Olynyk getting hurt, and the Jazz needing more size up front, he's moved into the starting lineup and has done great. When Kelly Olynyk comes back, I don't know if they're gonna move Walker back to the bench. I think he's kind of earned the starting spot, which does make me worried for a guy like Jared Vanderbilt. I really like Jared Vanderbilt, but the Jazz have not been willing to try to play him and Kessler together yet. And if they're not gonna play the two together at all, I just don't think there's enough m minutes for Jared to really get in, Actually, there's not enough minutes for what he's earned. So he could be a possible guy that gets moved, just because I don't think he's going to be too happy playing, 16 minutes a night when he's shown that he's a, 26 to 30 minute a night NBA player. Along with Walker's huge night, Ochai Agbaji also had a massive night. I think he had 19 points in that game. Played great defense, especially down the stretch. His defense has been great. Both those two are great defenders. Walker, at the basket, and Ochai at the point of attack. And the Jazz really don't have any other good point of attack defenders. So having a guy like Agbaji around really makes things flow a lot better for this team. There was a play last night. Clippers got a steal. Most of the Jazz have kind of just, given up. The guy's gonna get a, an easy transition dunk or layup or whatever. There wasn't gonna be a much of a contest. And Ochai chased down the play from behind and blocked it. Got the fast break going on the other side for the Jazz, which ended up with Colin Sexton dunking at the other end. That's one of those plays earlier in the year you just wouldn't see out of this Jazz team. They don't have the perimeter defenders that really do stuff like that. And you definitely wouldn't have seen it last year. There was nobody on last year's team, even though they were so extremely talented. There was nobody that was gonna chase down a block like that in a game in the middle of January. Ochai worked his way into the rotation. I think this is like game six or seven for him now. Will Hardy decided that it was time that Akpaji had earned his spot on the floor with the team. He was looking really good in practice, great G League. So they gave him minutes, they gave him time, and he has really delivered. He's had games where he's scored a ton, he's had games where he hasn't scored at all. But because of his defense and just his knowledge of where to be on the court, he's been extremely effective for the Jazz. Last year or last night, they played against the Clippers. Now, this was a Clippers team without Kawhi Leonard, without Paul George. Speaking of which, after watching the Clippers, I've watched a little bit of them this season, but not a ton. If they don't have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they might not make it even into the playoffs. And if they do, they're just going to be first round fodder. They are not good enough to beat really any team in a seven game series without those two superstars. It sounds like they're really slow playing it with Paul George bringing him back from his injury. Kawhi Leonard, I think, is healthy for the most part, but they are just really managing that injury. He's not playing any types of back-to-backs. If he's sore at all, they sit him. They're really trying to get those guys healthy for the playoffs, but they're barely in the playoff race themselves. Like, they need to get something going. Make sure that they actually secure a playoff spot, and then that they're in a good enough position that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard can actually lead them further into the playoffs. With that, let's go ahead and get into all these trade rumors that are involved around the Jazz. Mike Conley's name has started coming out this week. Now, a couple weeks ago, it sounded like the Jazz weren't really looking to move Mike Conley. Now, that still may be the case. They still be maybe wanting to hold on to him. It's just other teams are interested in him. And if that's the case, if I'm the Jazz, I'm at least listening. If there's a good enough offer, I would really hesitate to take it because this team, this rebuild, this tear down of last year's team is not really about this season. Now, if you can have great success this season, that's awesome, but it's more about the future. You have what looks to be a great cornerstone piece in Larry Markkanen. You have a guy in Walker Kessler who looks like he could be your next great center for the next, 9, 10 years. So the two teams that have come up quite a bit are Minnesota and Los Angeles, the Clippers. So there's the thing with the well, so we'll break down both these ideas here. So for the Timberwolves, they just made that massive trade to get Rudy Gobert. They have what looks to be a young star in Anthony Edwards. Karl-Anthony Towns, we know he is a perennial all-star type player. So who can you bring in that will make that mix really fit, make things really click? Because D'Angelo Russell is not a natural point guard. He's not a passer. He's a decent ball handler. He passes the ball when he needs to. But he's not a real floor general. Like, he would do really well playing alongside like Luka Doncic or playing alongside Nikola Jokic or somebody that's gonna dominate the ball handling responsibilities, and he can, be a secondary ball handler and get, wide open threes on catch and shoot. That's the main reason the Jazz are looking at a guy like Mike Conley. Mike Conley even though he's not a guy that's going to put up like 12 assists a night or something crazy like that, he runs the offense. He gets everybody organized. You can tell that when he's in the game, there's just a different energy with the Jazz. There's a lot more calmness when he's in the game. And I think that's what the Timberwolves are looking for. He also is a great spot-up shooter, one of the best in the entire league. So when you have possessions where Anthony Edwards wants to just take over the ball, Mike Conley is totally fine to sit either in the corner or on the wing and just wait. If something opens up, he can get a wide open three. He has great pick and roll chemistry with Rudy Gobert now after working with him for 3 years. They became a great pick and roll pairing. Now, really, all that the Timberwolves can send out is D'Angelo Russell. Now, I've kind of thought about the idea of taking on D'Angelo Russell if I'm the Jazz. He's 26. He kind of fits a timeline with the team. He's on an expiring deal, so you give him the rest of the season. If it looks like it could work, it could mesh, maybe you sign him to a new contract. If not, you move on. You tried it. He's not the right fit. You move on with, Colin Sexton and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Or, whoever you draft or whatever. Now with the Clippers brought in John Wall this summer because they've had point guard problems ever since they got this Kawhi Leonard, Paul George group together. And again, Mike Conley is a great fit with those two guys. As long as they're healthy, he fits great with them because those two can dominate the ball and he can still be effective. And then there's times where they can be off the floor and he can still be keeping things moving, keeping calm, keep the ball moving around. Even though he's not very big and he's not the greatest defender, he tries real hard on that end, which is a plus. As far as a trade with the Clippers, you're looking at one of their forwards and probably John Wall in a trade. So maybe Robert Covington and John Wall, or Nicholas Batum and John Wall. Maybe Marcus Morris and John Wall, but I don't see them trading Marcus Morris. So let's just say Covington and John Wall. Well, if I'm the Jazz, I'm not really too interested in John Wall. If I bring him in, I might just buy him out, let him go play like in Miami or wherever to go title chasing, or maybe to Brooklyn or wherever, Milwaukee. But what I'd like to do with a trade like that is get a hold of the Bulls. It looks like Alex Caruso might be available. And so I would make it a three-team trade, sending them John Wall, get back Alex Caruso, have the Clippers send the Bulls a second round pick, and the Jazz send the Bulls a first round pick or a second round pick as well. So the Bulls would get back John Wall, two second round picks. John Wall can, give them a good, decent backup point guard, but it also gets them a couple second round picks just to kind of load up a little bit because they're in a position right now where they're not really pushing to the top, but they're also not really wanting to break it all down. They have a lot of talent, and Lonzo Ball's been injured all year. So if they can add some assets, that's what they'll be looking to do. And then Alex Caruso would be a great fit with the Jazz. He immediately could either start or be the backup right behind Colin Sexton. Is a ferocious defender, sorry. And then Robert Covington, getting him back in that trade, gets you a lot more depth at the power forward, small forward position. He is a very good defender, especially as like a help defender. As a one-on-one, he's not great, but as like a weak side rim protector type guy, He does a great job there. And he's got to the point where he's a decent 3-point shooter. He can stand in the corner and knock him down. He's not going to create his own offense, but you don't really need that. Excuse me. Finally, the last rumor that keeps coming up with the Jazz is John Collins. The Jazz have been linked with John Collins since very, very early this season. Now, I can't remember who had it. I think it might have been Mark Stein, but he was saying that there is a three-team trade being floated around between the Cavaliers, the Hawks, and the Jazz that would send Malik Beasley to the Cavs, Caris LeVert to the Hawks, and John Collins to the Jazz. Now, big thing is John Collins has 3 years left on his deal, at basically $25 million per year, so it's a lot to take on. And he's having a down year, about 13 points a game, 8 rebounds. He's usually closer to being like an 18 and 10 type player, but the Hawks have just been a mess this year. I like John Collins. He's the same age as Lauri Markkanen. Plays a power forward position. Slide over and play a little bit of center. I like the idea of him, Walker Kessler, and Lauri Markkanen as your front court of the future and of the now. I mean, that front court could be together for years. John has the ability to space the floor. Has been a highly efficient offensive player for quite a few years now. The only thing that I would want to do in this trade is get rid of Rudy Gay as well. I like Malik Beasley, so getting rid or losing him, I would need something in return, whether it be a first round pick from the Hawks, which is what they've been trying to get, or getting the Hawks to take on a salary for the Jazz. So if you could work out Malik goes to the Cavaliers, Caris LeVert goes to the Hawks, Rudy Gay also goes to the Hawks, and then the Jazz get John Collins. That opens up a roster spot for the Jazz. He gets them off of Rudy Gay's contract. All of a sudden, there's a more defined role for a guy like Simone Fontecchio coming off the bench. Or if you made that trade with Mike Conley also. Now there's a bigger role for Robert Covington. Now, will any of this happen? I don't know. I just know that the Jazz have been involved in the rumors a lot lately. There's been a lot of smoke. Now, that doesn't always mean that there's fire. That doesn't always mean that there's going to be a ton of trades or even game moves. But I just know that there's a lot going on around the Jazz and that they do have an opportunity here to, without giving up any of their first round picks, improve the roster for now and make improvements for the future. So that's what I would like to see the Jazz try to accomplish, is not get rid of any of those assets that they've accumulated over the summer from trading away Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. Try and get better for this season, but more importantly, try and get better for the next few years. With that, I'm gonna go ahead and end this episode. Hopefully this weekend. Also, we'll see if I can get it all written out and ready to go. I'm gonna do on the Wasatch basketball side of things, so the NBA, I'd like to do a trade deadline special. But it won't really be going over like, I think this team should trade for this guy, this team should trade for this guy. It'll be more going in depth, doing like a halfway report on the team, or halfway through the season, looking at what they could use. Maybe it is a trade, maybe it's there's a free agent out there that they could add, or maybe it's just changing up their rotation. Giving some young guy more time, or maybe there's somebody that's on their bench that needs to be moved to a starter, whatever it is. So that's what I'm planning on doing. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz.